Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Just let me do this right. There we go. Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Polkville.
That would be a really, really weird space for a Strange Brew Coffeehouse.
It would be. It would be. Start your day the right way.
Be a good spot for Polk sausages.
I love Polk sausage. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. So this week at Strange Brew, I have been told there's going to be a new beverage on the menu. I don't want to go too far into the details about it, but we'll have a little bit more to say about it once I see it's completed. But let's just put it this way. If you have an issue and you go to Strange Brew and you're like, hey, can y'all make this happen? If you know the right people, you can make things happen there. I'll just put it that way. So
Shane Reed will bend
over
backwards.
He's a man of the people.
That's right.
So there you go. So
and we wonder, I don't, but some people wonder, how is this guy such a successful businessman?
He listens to his customers.
He does. Yeah,
he takes care of his customers.
It's 100%.
Simple as that. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. Any weekend you're cooking out, it's a great weekend to throw beef onto the grill. Nothing beats a steak. Nothing beats a great burger. So why are you not doing that? If you're cooking out and you're not putting beef on the grill, you're missing out. Nobody is unhappy when you say we're cooking steak tonight. And if your family is unhappy when you say we're cooking steak tonight, I don't know how to put this to you mildly. I'll just come out and say it. You need a new family. It's time to get out. You've made a mistake. So
get
do that.
A new family.
I'm just saying. If my wife, I came home one day and my wife was like, you know what, Brian, we're not going to eat steak anymore. What was it? We had a good run.
It was a good run.
We had a good run.
And I don't think it's going to work.
Pretty sure the judge is going to give me the kids on that one because he's going to be like, can't have steak. And the kids will be like,
what do you expect?
I want to go with dad. He's going to eat steak. I hate to say these kind of things, but it's the truth. That's why you come to this podcast. People tell you the truth. And that's what we're going to do right here. So beef, it's what's for dinner. Hopefully you don't have to leave your family. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. You are looking for it. We are a week from opening day. We had a little good run with some good weather here, but it looks like it's going to be cold. If you're in the Jackson area before you get up to Duty Noble, it might be time to head over to College Corner and grab a new pullover, a new hoodie, new sweatshirt. Something warm weather for this weekend for opening day at Duty Noble Field with that M over S logo. They've got them at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. The best meal in town, always at Restaurant Tyler. Guys, if you want to have a great lunch in this city, the best place to do it is Restaurant Tyler. They have, if you're a blue plate person, which I am, and I think a lot of you guys are, we're in the South. We love a blue plate. The best one in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Great selection of meats, veggies, fantastic cornbread, and it's a good price, too, so you just can't beat that. Next time you're in Starkville and you're ready to eat lunch, you need to make a trip to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you deserve answers on your schedule. That's what Priority One Bank is going to give you. Priority One Bank is going to give you a level of service that you can't get anywhere else. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We've talked all year, Robbie, about basketball and how just ridiculous this conference is. Today's top 25 poll, which just released maybe 15 minutes ago as we're doing this podcast, gives you the example. Four teams in the country receive first place votes this week.
Mm-hmm.
All four of them are in the SEC. Number one, Alabama. This is the AP poll. Number two, Alabama, I'm sorry, number one Auburn, number two Alabama, number three Florida. They're tied with Duke for third, and then number five Tennessee. Duke did not receive a first place vote. Auburn got 34, Alabama got 23, Florida got three, and Tennessee got one. Texas A&M is eighth in the poll.
Yeah.
So five of the top eight are from the SEC. Kentucky 15, Ole Miss 19, Mississippi State, I'm sorry, let's skip Missouri, Missouri 21, Mississippi State at 22, stay put.
State's still got to play four of these teams.
Yeah, State has another game at Alabama. They play Florida tomorrow. We're going to preview that game. And they still play Ole Miss.
At Ole Miss.
They have to play Ole Miss, and they have to play Texas A&M at home.
Yeah.
Also, I believe Alabama is number one in the coaches' poll. So Alabama-Auburn plays Saturday. That's a number one versus number one game, however you want to look at it.
That's going to be a crazy game.
What time is that game? I hope I can. I guess I'm not going to be able to watch it because I'm headed to Oxford. But
God, you got State and Ole Miss top 25 matchup on Saturday in number one versus number two, which has never happened in the SEC ever.
Wow, it never has?
Never happened.
Can't
in
believe
the SEC.
Like Kentucky, Florida never got there or anything like that.
Mm-mm. There has never been a matchup with number one versus number two, according to a report that I saw, a few minutes ago. So.
Yeah.
I'm going by that.
3 o'clock, so that's the game before Mississippi State. I'm gonna have to get to Oxford early. I don't want to miss any of that.
Yeah, and I can't make it Saturday. We got playoff basketball.
Yeah,
I was kind of looking forward to that atmosphere there. That's gonna be a big time atmosphere in Oxford.
Should be, but yeah, that's gonna be a good one. So State Florida this Saturday, or sorry, this Tuesday, 6 o'clock tip.
Mm-hmm.
At the Hump.
This will be my first missed. A game at the Hump this year, I think.
Oh, you want to be at the Hump?
No, I got to playoff basketball, man. It's all week. I got
you
tonight, Tuesday,
you
Friday,
can't
and Saturday.
Get Caleb Cunningham out of your life. He just stays with you.
I won't see Caleb Cunningham this week, unfortunately.
They didn't make the playoffs?
They did, but I'll be at East Webster on Tuesday. I'll be at Choctaw County tonight.
Okay.
As we record for girls basketball, but they play Tuesday, and I'm going to East Webster on Tuesday. So.
Okay. So
I'm all over the place right now.
I hope my laptop gets fixed, because otherwise, why am I going to this game?
You can scream at Paul on press row 2 feet away while he says, huh?
No, I don't want to do that. This Florida team coming in, Robbie, I don't know if you're catching them at the best time or at the worst time. Because right now they're looking at their the rest of their way, and they're going, we could be the number one team in the nation and be the number one overall seed.
Their schedule back half is very manageable.
And then at the other side of that, though, is that they're looking at it from a place of, we just beat the number one team in the nation, or are they going to come in with the big head?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer to that question.
It feels like this is your best shot.
I'd rather play them tomorrow than play them Saturday.
And I'm not saying it's going to matter, but to me, and just the trends of it all, it seems like teams that are coming off of big wins or, mm-hmm. Heartbreaking losses, one of the two, they are a little more susceptible.
And you saw a little bit of that.
Ole Miss did that against LSU.
Ole Miss was susceptible. They had a chance to lose that game.
And State, I think it was the opposite. You had the heartbreaking loss to Alabama. You played your guts out. You lose, and you just come out flat against Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's one of the two. If they had lost a heartbreaking game at Auburn, would be kind of similar, I feel like. But, them winning on the road, I think, I don't want to say bodes well for Mississippi State, because this is still a loaded team filled with mismatches that can really score the basketball,
mm-hmm.
Which makes that game at Tennessee so shocking, the way that they just – but that's – if you don't show up in the SEC, I say it every show, it seems like,
mm-hmm.
if you don't show up, you're going to get embarrassed.
Yes.
And they were embarrassed. They scored 44 points,
mm-hmm.
which I haven't looked at their stats on the year, probably half of what they score per game.
Well, they average 84 a game.
So yeah. Almost half of what they score per game.
That game's a huge outlier when you look at their –
And Tennessee's elite defensively.
Yeah.
Tennessee's a great defensive team.
This is a team that did not lose a non-conference game. Came into conference play undefeated, lost that opener to Kentucky in that crazy 106-100 game on opening weekend, lost again a few weeks later by one at home to Missouri. That was kind of where we started to get the idea, okay, I mean, this Missouri team is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So they were 2-2 after the first couple of weeks, and then they started winning. And they win at Texas. I'm sorry, they beat Texas. They win at South Carolina. They win at home against Georgia. They have that crazy game against Tennessee that you just mentioned. Where, and those two teams, when they played each other, Florida won by 30 in Gainesville and loses by 20 in Knoxville.
Yeah.
So
the SEC just doesn't make it's a game by game thing. Yeah. Like it just doesn't make sense.
They easily beat Vanderbilt at home, and then they go on the road and they kind of handled Auburn. They led most of that game, and you know, led by double digits for portions of it, and then, you know, get the win. That's the first loss for Auburn this year. And now they come to Starkville. You mentioned this is a high-scoring team, 84 points per game. Walter Clayton Jr., their leading scorer, 17.5 a game. But they have four guys in double figures. They out-rebound their opponents by 10.
Yeah.
10 a game.
They, very long and physical team.
This is a big team. State's going to have to make shots because they're not going to get a lot of second-chance points, I don't think.
Yeah. Going to have to make shots, probably get them in foul trouble, get them flustered.
Mm-hmm.
It's an excellent shooting team. They shoot the three-point very well.
Yeah, they're 47% from the field, 34% from behind the arc.
Yeah, they're just solid across the board. They rebound, they defend, they got depth, they got length. You know, Alex Condon is a problem in the post, just trying to box him out because he's got size and he's got some length on him that he can get those rebounds. Walter Clayton's, you know, one of the more impressive all-around players in the league right now. Asia Martin's been really good. That's a guy I feel like State fans have been talking about for years, mm-hmm. about trying to get him in the transfer portal and get him transferred to Mississippi State. He goes to Florida and has been really good for them this year, 15 points a game, solid shooter for the most part. It's going to be a very difficult game for Mississippi State, mm-hmm. It's not a must-win like I felt like Georgia was, mm-hmm. because this is kind of like a, you know, roll-the-dice game, see what happens. But it changes everything for you if you do win it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that, barring some kind of major, you know, collapse, mm-hmm. which I just don't see happening, this is going to be a quad one ball game for Mississippi State throughout.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have to absolutely fall apart. They're fifth, I think, in the net.
Let's double check that. Correct.
And so this is going to be, it would be Mississippi State's best win easily.
Mm-hmm. Easily.
This year, and strengthens your resume, gets you closer to, you know, that number that I've talked about. Eight wins is really the sweet spot that I think this team mm-hmm. needs to get to. This gets you closer to that. Gets you two wins away from that if you're able to get it. And it's a huge confidence boost if you're able to get this game too. But it's easier said than done, mm-hmm. doing it, because this team does not defend extremely well.
Right.
Mississippi State, that is.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, Chris Jans's bright spot.
This feels like another game that's going to be similar to Kentucky and Alabama, that it's going to be
State going to have to
score. Make shots, yeah.
And I'm not saying that State needs to let up on defense. They've got to play a really good defensive game, at least play hard and get the stops when you can. I just don't know if the game's going to be won by what they do on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to look up and you're going to say you have to score.
Yeah.
You got to be really efficient on the offensive side. You got to knock down shots. They haven't been doing that outside of Hubbard, who's kind of gotten hot here. Yeah, I know he was 2-for-8, I think, from three.
Mm-hmm.
But was shot 50% for the game against Georgia, so he wasn't just, you know, 3-for-15 or something from the field.
Mm-hmm.
So he found other ways to score. But outside of him, they're not hitting open looks. Riley Kugel's not really hitting them consistently. You know, RJ Melendez and Claudio Harris have really been bad in conference play from three.
They have.
They've got to take it up a notch. Those guys have got to be able to hit the shots from outside, and then you got to get your points where you can from Keyshawn Murphy. Cam Matthews is going to have to be big in this game. It's going to take everybody to win this thing for Mississippi State, but it's not impossible. You know, State last year was facing a team in Tennessee that I think was not all that dissimilar to this Florida team.
Mm-hmm.
You had a superstar in Dalton Knecht, but it wasn't just him. They had several pieces that could score.
Bigler and the rest of those guys.
And they defended. You know, Rick Barnes' teams are going to defend. I don't think that Tennessee team was all that different than this Florida team. and State was able to win that ball game. So they've proven it before that they can do it. Now, they defended really well in that first half at Starkville against Tennessee and did it again for a full game when they played in the SEC tournament. So defense was kind of big in that. It's going to need to come up, and you're going to need to come up and get a good bit of stops. But I just don't – I can't foresee Mississippi State holding them in the 60s or something.
No,
I think this is going to be a game. If Mississippi State wins, it's like 90 to 85.
Yeah. It's basically going to have to – they're going to have to make the shots they missed against Kentucky and, and Alabama.
And, I mean, they've proven that they can score like that. I mean, they didn't against Missouri, but they've done it against Alabama and Kentucky. So – so, it's not an impossible feat, but it is a very tall task.
You made the comment that you don't think this is a must-win game, and I do agree. But if you lose, Saturday becomes must-win.
Yeah,
you need to be 1-1 this week. If you win this game, you can go to Ole Miss with no pressure.
I mean, I don't think that it's the difference between it's not the tournament or not, but it's –
You start becoming closer to where you don't want to be.
You're getting toward. You're starting to move back to the bubble at that point.
Exactly.
So yeah, it is a. It's their 5-5 in the SEC, right? Or 5-6.
State
5-5.
5-5.
So you know they're still in solid shape. There's still some winnable games down there, but you really need to take one this week, and it's going to be hard. You know, Ole Miss plays well at home. Florida's playing well everywhere outside of Knoxville. And they're playing, you know, good basketball right now. Scored 86 against Vandy, scored 90 against a great Auburn team that can defend too. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
This is going to be a game. If State wins this game, we will come onto this podcast, and I'll be on Sports Talk, and you'll be on 3 saying that's the best they've played all year.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think they win the game because Florida plays poorly and State just capitalizes on their mistakes. I think State has to elevate its game to win this game.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any doubt.
So yeah, big game for the Bulldogs,
and you really need them to. That it feels like they're in a funk right now. It does. They're not playing great basketball.
Yeah.
So it's very important that in one of these two games, you start to see more from some of these guys that are kind of quiet right now, the RJ Melendezes and the
guys who were good in the non-conference.
Yeah.
You know,
Riley Kugel is just up and down. That's just who he is. And he's had good games during this stretch, and he's had games where he's kind of disappeared. Mm-hmm. So he just kind of, you know, it's just a day to day, game to game basis.
Right.
But, you know, Melendez isn't playing great. Cam Matthews, I think, is starting to kind of get out of his funk a little bit. He's never going to be a guy that scores 15 to 20 points regularly. And he's not really looking to score all the time. But you want to see him active on defense and productive on offense, things like that. Those guys have got to step up. Claude O'Harris, they've got to have a total team effort. You can't have another Josh scores 40 and – Keyshawn scores 15 and nobody else really does anything.
That's the other thing is State's finally – they're getting some consistent second score. We talked about that in the preseason. Like, who's going to be number two? It's become Keyshawn Murphy, which is crazy because of him coming off the bench. State needs that consistency they were getting where Melendez or Kugel or somebody was also two or three guys. They got that Saturday.
Early SEC play.
Yeah, they got that Saturday. They had four guys in double figures. If they had made their free throws, the game was never in question.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to have a little bit more of that. So this is going to be a very interesting game. And also, quick mention, Florida with the SEC Player of the Week last week, Alex Condon, 19-9 against Vandy and then 17-10 against Auburn. So he's having a really fantastic season, averaging 11 and 8 for the season for the Gators. So this is a really good basketball team coming to Starkville. State will have to play its absolute best game of the year to have a chance to get a top five upset over the Florida Gators. I haven't done anything yet. No.
Okay. I was just looking at this.
I thought you were going to say something, yeah.
This message board geniuses post that you've shared here today.
Like, is he talking about Will East?
All I can think about is your cousin.
The king. Just leave it at that. So. right.
I could just see him making this
That
post.
might be his burner. You never know.
Hey, you never know. He's a big rebel.
That's right. All right, so before we get into the second half of the show, and we do the ads here. A few weeks ago on the Rumblings, and I don't know if I wanted to do this on the Rumblings, but I wanted to make sure Robbie was in. We needed Robbie in studio, and so he's here today. Somebody was talking about my OCD behavior, eating Skittles. And if you don't recall, it was that I eat them one color at a time, and it's always in the same order. I eat lime, lemon, orange, strawberry, grape.
That's psychotic behavior.
Right. So somebody was like, would you be willing to take a blind taste test of Skittles? So here we have. We have the Skittles here. So what we're going to do is this. I'm going to pass the bag over to Robbie right now.
Okay.
Robbie's going to, just dump the bag or whatever and get out one of the each of appropriate color. I will close my eyes. If you're watching on YouTube, you will see that my eyes remain closed the whole time. He's going to put all five in my hand. I will eat them one at a time and tell him what they are. He will not reveal to me what I have eaten until after. That way I can't process of elimination it, right?
Okay,
Because if
we
we
have
have,
five different colors, right?
right, we have green, yellow, orange, red, purple.
Okay.
All right. And so if Robbie were to like, if I were to eat the first one and say, okay, I think that's lime, and he says, no, it's actually orange, I know that orange is out. So he will not tell me anything until it's over. My eyes will remain closed the whole time. Here's my
I'm going to
hand.
give you one at a time.
You're going to do one at a time. That's fine.
Okay.
All right. So the first one, not in my hand yet, waiting.
All right. I got to show the camera.
Okay, show the camera, go. Yeah. Make sure.
Yep.
So here, I'll show it as well. So here we go. I have no idea what I'm eating. That's orange.
Okay.
Okay. I haven't taken a bite yet. I brought a bottle of water.
Oh yes, you have to.
I'm gonna cleanse the palate.
This is like for the bourbon drinkers out there. Whenever you're bourbon tasting, this is what Hey Dad's doing with Skittles.
That's strawberry.
Okay. Cleanse the palate.
My Super Talk branded water bottle. Okay. That's lime. It's still closed. If you're watching, again, this is a great time if you're not watching on YouTube to be doing it. That's lemon.
Okay, last one.
Now, I know, I mean, it has to be grape, but
If you've gotten all of them
if I've gotten them
correct.
right, yeah. That's grape.
Missed three. No, I'm kidding.
I got them all right, didn't
You
I?
got them all right.
Yeah. I'm a Skittles aficionado.
Apparently so. Well, if you go through the links that you're going through to eat Skittles.
Let me tell you something right now. This was never in doubt for me. I knew I was going to get all five right.
I don't understand the order that you're doing this in. Well,
It's personal preference. That lime is my least favorite flavor. And so I go from lime, lemon's my second, and purple grape is my favorite flavor. Like if I could just get a bag of grape Skittles, I would be so happy.
well, here's what I do with Skittles.
You're a madman.
Oh,
You act like they're M&M's and they're all the same flavor. I want to
it's
enjoy
so
each flavor.
tropical.
Taste the rainbow. All right, so we got that out of the way. I knew I was going to go five for five. I had never for a second doubted myself.
Good job.
All right. Let's move into the rest of the show. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the Cotton District, the home of smoked Southern soul food, and the Older Brother, Sarville's best new restaurant, the home of the fancy sandwich. You know what's funny is when I started doing this ad read years ago, so smoked Southern soul food is something they came up with, and I like it and think the branding is good. I came up with fancy sandwich, but I say them both like they gave them to me. Like, yeah. I don't know that they want to be known as the home of the fancy sandwich, but it works for me.
I mean,
I want an older brother T-shirt that just says fancy sandwiches. I would wear that.
I just want an older brother T-shirt.
I just want to go to the older brother. To be honest with you. So if they had been open for lunch today, I think that's where I would have suggested.
Yeah, Monday's such a tough time in Starkville.
It's tough. All of our sponsors are closed on Monday.
They are.
We can't make you. If I want to eat lunch out on Monday, I cannot go to a sponsored restaurant. Might got to change.
So we got to change that, guys. Somebody be the one to volunteer as tribute.
Well, Tuesday through Sunday, we can, and let's do that. So let's head over to Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother sometime this week. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing. He's getting ready over there. He's locking in. They've been doing it for 50 years. All right. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. Please use a louder voice than what Robbie did when he called them. And they're going to take care of you. They're going to offer you. Look, first off, the sale is going to be great. A big name product at a great price. But most importantly, when something goes wrong, and they inevitably it will, you got that backup. You've got that great service that they're known for, Advantage Business Systems. I can't tell you how many people have, by the way, have been like, did you buy your laptop at Advantage Business Systems? And I'm like, no, I didn't. I wish I had, because it would have already been fixed.
Yep.
So yeah, that's on me. It's actually, I didn't buy the laptop. It's not on me at all. I think about it. So if you need technology for your business, you know the number to call, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the game this weekend, before you're at Diddy Noble Field, maybe a trip to Maroon & Co. I mentioned it earlier. Cold temperatures this weekend. 4 o'clock first pitch. We're about to talk about opening weekend. And you might want to just warm up a little bit. So go grab you a new hoodie, a new pullover while you're at Maroon & Co. They have an incredible selection. They've got all the logos that you want. They've got the state script. They've got the interlocking. They've got the M over S for baseball weekends. It's all right there at Maroon & Co. And you can use our promo code to save some money. Thunder15 is that code. We'll save 15%. On regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the next game at Diddy Noble Field, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. All right, Robbie, we were at the Omaha Room today to talk to Coach Chris Lemonis. They revealed a couple of things to us. All the weekend opening times are set. 4 o'clock first pitch on Friday. 1 o'clock first pitch. Or is it 2 o'clock
first pitch?
4-2-1. 2 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday. I won't be able to make it until Saturday or until Sunday. We'll be... What games are you going to be at?
I should be there for all three.
Okay.
But we'll see how that plays out. I have those playoff games.
I got you.
Here's the thing. We always make fun of the, there's rain in the forecast like 6 days out,
mm-hmm.
and people wondering how they're going to get the games in, and it almost always works out.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday does look like the forecast looks like it's going to be tough to get those games in.
Yeah.
So – would not shock me to see like a doubleheader on Friday or something of that nature. We'll obviously monitor that.
So you have that, and then they also announced the weekend rotation. And Chris Lemonis is going to rely on experience this week. Not going to be any new faces in that weekend rotation. Pico Khan on Friday, Carson Ligon on Saturday, Stone Simmons. Maybe the biggest, if I had to pick a surprise, it's him.
Yes.
That's a guy I thought we would see more out of the bullpen, but he will get the start on Sunday. I liked what Lemonis said. Somebody talked about versatility and experience and just, I think week one, we've talked about this before. The last few years, State's gotten off to, they're not sweeping these early series. They want to get some momentum going, and they feel like the best way to do that is to put the guys out there who have pitched at Diddy Noble Field before. And I think that may actually be a smart move. You're going to see plenty of guys this weekend. None of these guys are throwing 780 innings this weekend. But the idea to get the game started with an experienced hand on the mound, I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people were freaking out about the rotation. And here's the thing. I've tried to reiterate this and tell people and prepare them. This is totally going to be like kind of a – mix and match and see who fits and see who performs. It's not like you're setting this is your rotation for the full year.
Right.
Like, I think people look at that and they're like, oh, we're in trouble. Like, that doesn't mean
anything. What was the opening weekend rotation like?
It was Nate Dome.
who Saturday. The Saturday guy was not Cal Steven. Gerangelo was on Sunday. I think
it was Cal Steven.
Okay.
Almost positive.
Okay.
I think they all three pitched. I think they all three started. I just can't remember if it was Gerangelo Saturday and then Cal Sunday.
What if we had a device?
Yeah, you can find that out
easily. Go ahead. You keep talking.
But there's a ton of guys in the mix here. I mean, we've talked about the possibilities for several weeks. One of the guys we mentioned was Stone Simmons, but I felt like it was going to be Jacob Pruitt or Charlie Foster starting in that spot just to get started. Just because Stone has not pitched in a live like game that's not Summer League baseball since 2022, March the 5th, I think, 2022. So that's something that...
Oh, how could I have forgotten what happened? You're correct. Steven did start the Saturday game. Remember, he was pitching great. He threw seven innings. They only gave up one run. And then Colby Holcomb came in.
That's right.
And gave away the lead.
That's right. They lost that.
Oh, God. Yep. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Air Force. Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Brooks Auger lost, but it wasn't really like it was...
I think... Let me pull the box.
I think Brooks Auger was like the last pitcher in, and they took the lead.
Who got the loss here? No, Holcomb got the loss. Auger pitched, but he walked in a run, didn't he?
I can't remember.
He walked in a run, but it wasn't charged to him.
Okay, so, he pitched before Holcomb.
Yeah. Right. No. He pitched after Holcomb.
Okay, but the run was charged to Holcomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew Brooks Auger was on the mound with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember, it was like I mentioned to Chris when I asked that question. I remember coming into that week, I asked the question about his pitching rotation and what he felt about it. And he didn't even know at the time. Like, I think he legitimately did not know who was going to be in the starting rotation because he said, you know, we have six or seven potential starters. You know, Bradley Lofton was a guy in the mix. Colby Holcomb was a guy that was in the mix.
We thought he was going to be the Friday night starter.
Yeah. He actually came and talked to us at Media Day.
Yeah.
But it's a definite work in progress. And here's what I'll say, and it was spoken on this show by the pitching coach. If Carson Ligon or whoever cannot consistently throw strikes, they will not be in the game. They will not pitch in a meaningful game, or at least in a meaningful moment of a game. They definitely won't start. If you can't come out and command the strike zone, you're not going to start. So Carson Ligon, it's, you know, he's kind of on the clock. And I don't think they're going to have a very long leash with that if he's not able to command his stuff. And Lamonis talked about it on Monday about how that has kind of been the issue with him a little bit. And it's about reining it in and being able to handle what he throws. His fastball velocity has climbed over the last few months, and he's got some good stuff. The secondary pitches are good. It's just it's not completely reined in at this point. And that's going to be the challenge for him when he gets out there on the mound, making sure he's not walking guys, making sure he's hitting his corners, hitting his spots. He's not leaving a ball up that gets hit out of the yard, things like that. He's the one that I have even more of a – I think I have even more of a question mark on him than I do Stone Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if Stone is healthy, he'll be really good.
Yeah, I agree.
What role does Stone Simmons play this year? I don't know. Is he going to remain in the rotation? I think he's got that kind of stuff. I think he's got that kind of mental capacity to handle that. I'd love to see it. But I'm very intrigued to see how it plays out. I think State has a lot of pieces. It's just about finding where they land. And usually around the start of SEC play, or, you know, you start getting into SEC play, is when you start finding your closer and your setup guy and the long relief guy and the starting rotation.
Right.
Right now is not the time to start panicking about rotation or starting to nitpick.
Agreed.
Because it's going to work itself out some form or fashion.
That being said, if they lose a game this weekend.
Oh, fire Lamonis immediately. Well,
I mean, just from a more serious perspective, though, it is an issue.
Yeah.
And that's something I've learned over the last few years is that opening weekend matters. So many people are just like, it doesn't matter that first weekend. You just get... No. When you're talking about you want to host, you have to win these games. And so if State loses a game, I'm gonna have to be critical about it. I was thinking about
something today. Well, it is Manhattan for sure.
It is. But I mean, it was Northern Kentucky a few years ago.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, against a team like that,
You should sweep.
You're talented enough, today. You shouldn't lose those games.
Something just occurred to me this. I was thinking about State's SEC schedule. If Tennessee had this schedule, or if Texas A&M had what State is playing, right, we would be talking about them possibly going like 27-3, 26-4, something like that. Like, we would be like, they're going to get a lot of sweeps. State's SEC schedule is as beneficial as it can possibly be.
On paper.
If they handled their business in the non-conference, they are going to have a chance to not only be hosting, but be a national seed, just because they just don't play the top half of the SEC as much as you would think. They play LSU, they play Florida, they play Texas. That's it. They're skipping A&M, they're skipping Vandy, they're skipping Georgia, they're skipping Tennessee, they're skipping Arkansas. You cannot ask for a better schedule than
that. They play State was picked ninth.
They play everybody behind.
They play 10 through 16.
Yes, they play 10 through 16. And
that's amazing that they got that draw. So, and again, like we broke this down the other day.
Yeah.
But so you can go back and listen to that. But just speaking on that again, there's going to be a team or two down there that finishes somewhere up top,
mm-hmm,
or middle of the pack that wasn't supposed to be there. So somebody's going to surprise. They always do. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be somebody up top that finishes further down. But I refuse to believe that the coaches are that wrong that like everybody on that bottom half is going to finish where they do. Or I think that what we're going to see is it plays out very similar to that. So State very well could play the six bottom teams in the league out of their 10 conference series. So it's very important for them to – they need to take a couple of sweeps in there, and that's tough to do. They need to take a couple of sweeps in there. They need to win their series against a lot of those teams. And that's why I think that it was – I think people are short-selling Mississippi State and where they could finish.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I say that is because of the schedule. I'm not saying that they are going to be a top-five team in the league, like, top to bottom, like you look at the roster, whatever. I'm not saying that's them, mm-hmm, but they could very well end up there,
yeah,
like a Georgia or somebody like that did last year,
yeah,
because the schedule was so beneficial.
Georgia last year is a – now, the difference is that Georgia has had Charlie Condon, had the number one player.
They did, and I don't think they'll have that, but Georgia took care of – Georgia was where they were because they didn't lose non-conference games.
Right.
Mississippi State finished ahead of Georgia,
mm-hmm,
but they didn't
host. Took two out of three from them in the series.
Yes, didn't host.
What is more likely in terms of, we mentioned in Charlie Condon, that somebody like Ace Reese has a season like that, or that Hunter Hines in his final year has a monster season like that? Which one's more likely?
I feel like it's going to be Ace Reese,
mm-hmm,
because I'm just kind of at the point with Hunter, like I don't think who he is as a hitter is going to change a whole lot. I think he kind of is what he is. He's going to be a little more Deadpool hitter. He's going to hit a lot of home runs. And I think that's just kind of where he is. I just don't see a guy that's going to spray the ball around the field consistently. I think he can do that when he's really hitting. But I haven't seen enough in the time I've seen him in this offseason to say a lot has changed in how he approaches being at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that he's not going to have a great season. I think he's a guy that could hit around 300, mm-hmm, because he's done that before.
Should be 20 plus.
I don't think he's a 350 hitter.
Yeah.
With 25 home runs and he's hitting the ball to all fields consistently.
That would be a big surprise.
Under 50 strikeouts.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Ace Reese is just a great hitter.
Yeah.
It would not shock me if I look up and he's got 20 something home runs and 20 something doubles,
mm-hmm,
and he's stolen a bunch of bases and he's hitting home runs to left field and right field. It just wouldn't shock me.
Okay. I'm interested to see how it all turns out. We'll find out in a few days. Opening day just a few days away. All right, tomorrow's show we'll just we'll split would be the rumblings normally, right? But we'll have to throw future Brian in on that as well.
Yeah.
To recap.
So we're still going to roll through the rumblings.
We'll do the rumblings, but okay. we'll also have a future Brian on there to recap Mississippi State and Florida. All right, guys, have a great Tuesday. Back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Mississippi Media Production.